Continue with Ephesians 5. Little lady named Liana Mercy, goodness gracious, dressed in white, looking beautiful. Before they come up, I just wanted to read a scripture and share a thought in 1 Samuel 1. It says that Hannah, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look upon the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I'll give him to the Lord all the days of his life. Let me find favor in your sight." So she went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. It's amazing what just committing something to the Lord in prayer can do. Her face was no longer sad. She came in before prayer, greatly distressed, and she leaves away no longer sad. Don't miss that. And in verse 19 of 1 Samuel 1, "Then they arose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned again to their house in Ramah, and the Lord remembered her." It came about that in due time, somebody say due time. In due time, after Hannah had conceived, that she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, because I've asked him of the Lord. So the scripture says that Hannah prayed for a son. She said, "Lord, remember me." And the scripture says the Lord remembered her. And in due time, when Hannah's desire and God's sovereignty coincided, Hannah gave birth to a son. And it's probably not an exaggeration that once again, a mother's desire and God's sovereignty coincided, and a daughter was born this time. I understand the first daughter in decades in the family. Say it again? 40 years. The first daughter in 40 years in that family was born. So once again, we see a mother's heart and God's sovereignty come together, and something amazing and beautiful happens there. Psalm 127:3 says, "Behold, children are a gift from the Lord." And the Eberharts are gifted people. They got three of them running around here they're trying to take care of. Scripture tells us that Hannah, after she had weaned the child, she took him up with her and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. Although the child was young, she said to Eli the priest, "Oh my Lord, as your soul lives, I'm the woman who stood beside you last year praying to the Lord. For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. And I have also dedicated him to the Lord. And as long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. And Hannah realized it's the Lord who provides, the Lord who blessed her with the gift of motherhood. Too many mothers and fathers try to hang on to their kids. Too many mothers and fathers wrap up their own identity in their kids. They try to hang on and hold on to things in this life. And here we see it's God who gives the gift of children. It's God who gives this gift. And so she said, "This isn't even my child. This isn't even my son. He's not my own. I appreciate this opportunity and the gift that it is, and not everyone knows that opportunity. And so it's a gift, but the child isn't ours. The child is the Lord's." And so Hannah says, "I'm going to dedicate him to the Lord." And these two parents, Ryan and Doris, want to dedicate Liana Mercy to the glory of God. And they're going to need some help with that, just like Mikey said. They're going to need some help. It's not just parents, but it's the church family and it's the community around them that also speak into the lives of those children and who help in that way. So we have a responsibility to love and to care for and pray for one another. The scripture commands us to. And mothers, families, and fathers need all the help that they can get. And this practice of infant dedication goes from Samuel to Samson to actually Jesus, who was presented in the temple in Luke 2:22. Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And so this family, if you guys want to come up here, Liana's letting her voice be heard. You can come up here if you would. As we begin, the Lord said to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." Before Liana was formed in the womb, God knew her. And that's comforting to me. That tells me that God has a plan. Even though there's coronavirus, even though there's turmoil, there's challenge in life, there's challenge in parenting, there's challenge in our culture and in the world right now, it tells me God has a plan. I knew you before you were born, little lady. That's what God says to you. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. God has a plan. Through the prophet Isaiah, he says, my purpose will stand. And in agreement with that purpose, we're now going to dedicate Liana Mercy. And before we do, I know that they had a couple of thoughts or a scripture you wanted to share, Ryan.
Just going to share something out of Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. I modified it a little bit. Blessed are you, Liana, when you do not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. Liana, you will be like a tree planted by streams of water, yielding fruit in season, and whatever you do shall prosper. Father Liana, who is precious in your sight, you have a plan and a purpose for her life. When we look into your word, we see great women of faith who were very influential during their time. We pray, Lord, that Liana would have unwavering faith like Ruth, who after being widowed early in her life, stuck by her mother-in-law and followed God in all her days, believing God would provide for her. We ask that you would make her like Deborah, who was known for her compassion and leadership, and like Esther, that she would carry herself with great courage, who with the power of prayer and bravery saved her people. As Jesus prayed in John 17:3, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Father, this is our heart's cry, that Liana would know you, that she would come into a covenant relationship with you. Ephesians chapter 1, 4 through 6 says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his gracious and glorious grace.
Amen.
Which he has freely given us in the one he loves. And so, Lord, we ask, God, that your will would be done in Liana as it is done in heaven. And, Father, we thank you, God, that you have a calling and a plan, God, that everything will be done in her, Lord, according to your will. We thank you, Father, for this church. We thank you, God, for the members here, God, our family, our brothers and sisters. And Lord, and I thank you for their support here, God. And we believe, God, that they will also be influential in her life, Lord. Mm-hmm. And so we give everything to you, God. We give Liana into your hands, Father. God, we ask you for mercy, Lord, for strength. Mm-hmm. Help us, Lord. Give us wisdom. Help us to lead and guide her, God. Mm-hmm. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Just as we were singing and that beautiful song, I Worship You, that was beautiful. I just thought of the woman who came in and wept at Jesus' feet. And she washed his feet with her tears. I thought of Liana because Ryan was like, you know, when we pray for her, think about the women in the Bible and the attributes and what we would like for her to have. And I would like for Liana to have that heart of worship, for her to be a person who doesn't care what everybody else is doing, you know, looking at her, what their relationship is like with the Lord, that she would just have that intimate relationship with God where she's just, I'm going to worship you, Lord, and I don't care about anyone else because I know you're worthy and I know you're my king and I know you saved me. And I pray that for her. I pray that she would know him as her savior. I pray that she would know him as king, as one that is worthy of worship. I pray that she would have the heart of compassion like the Good Samaritan. I pray that she would have a prayer life like Hannah, where she would bear her heart before him, whether in good times and bad times, that she would know who the one, who he is and who she should run to in good and bad, because he is the one that is always there for her. And I thank you, Lord, that your presence is always with us, and I know your presence with you will be with Liana all the days of her life. And I pray that she would acknowledge that, that she would fear you with all of her heart, a healthy fear, that she would be a woman of obedience, that she would walk with you no matter what the world is doing, Lord, that she would say, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord, that she will have that servant's heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah, because you served us. You were the king, and you humbled yourself, and you came, and you clothed yourself as a man, and you were obedient to death. And I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done. I pray she would know intimately who you are, what you've done, and embrace you and have faith. Have faith like Rahab, yes, a courageous faith. Hallelujah, hallelujah. A courageous faith that is willing to take risks, that would also be a person that would think about others and that would want to bring others to salvation. Hallelujah. Yes, thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you, God. Put an anointing on her life, God. Give her the Holy Spirit. Amen. Fill her, Lord God. Amen. Let her move and have her being in you, God. Let her walk closely with you. Let her be devoted to you. Let her love you, Lord, with all of her heart, with all of her mind, with all of her strength and soul and spirit.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Amen. You guys can stay up here for one more minute if you would. I'm going to invite the elders, Ralph Johnson and Kevin Hennigan, to come up here if you would, guys. We just want to bless them in this commitment that they're making publicly here today. And you guys can just come over here and just lay hands on the Eberharts if you would. I'm just going to invite them to make a public confession of this commitment that they're making today. So, Ryan and Doris, do you commit by God's grace as you dedicate your daughter to the Lord to rear her in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? If so, say we do. And do you commit by God's grace to love and lead by example as you teach her the truth of God's word? And do you commit for the remainder of your earthly lives by the grace of God to cherish, forgive, love, and discipline her regardless of circumstances to the glory of God for her own good? If so, say we do. Amen. And we're one body of believers, so I'm going to invite us as the body to stand up, if you would, as their spiritual family and community. Do you commit to support and love this family and seek to, as they seek to follow Christ and dedicate themselves to the Lord? If so, say we do. And do you commit by God's grace to love this family and to pray for them and offer them help when in need? If so, say we do. And do you commit by God's grace, if given the opportunity, to love and teach their children that they might come to know Christ to the glory of God? If so, say we do. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite the elders. I don't know if you have anything you want to pray. Welcome to do so now. Thank you, Lord.
Well, there is one thing I want to say.
First. Say it. Say it.
With parents like Ryan and Doris, little Liana is in fantastic hands. Oh, God bless you guys. God bless your family who have been supportive. And when it comes to being a cheerleader, nobody's like Granddad. Nobody can hold a candle to Granddad. So my prayer is that we as a family will first touch and agree with the prayer that the parents have already prayed.
That's right. That's good. Yeah.
Let's agree with them.
Absolutely.
As a whole community of believers and a family here at Point Lookout. Mm-hmm. Let us touch and agree with the prayers that have already been prayed.
Amen.
And Lord, let us understand our responsibilities as a church family, oh God, mm-hmm. to be a present help to them, oh God. Be a present contributor to them, oh God. Be a family along with them, oh God.
Thank you, Lord.
As they have dedicated their wonderful daughter to you, Lord, which I'm sure you're well pleased at that act, mm-hmm. God. So again, Lord, we thank you, oh God, for this opportunity to be here with our brother and sister, oh God, and their family, oh God, as we participate in this joyous occasion. And we just give you the glory, and we ask that you have your way continuously in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we just affirm mm-hmm. the prayers
That's right.
that were uttered on the part of these parents for their children, Lord. Mm. We lift them up. Holy Spirit, we ask your anointing upon them as a family
Thank you,
and
Lord.
As individuals. Mm-hmm. We ask that this anointing, Lord, would manifest itself into a godly life, a
yes,
life
Lord.
Serving you, Father, a light dedicated to you. Watch over them. Bless them, Lord, their direction, their path, their purpose. Open up doors, Lord, that mm-hmm. are meant to be opened. We ask you to close doors that aren't, but that you would lead them, Lord, as a family down this path. Serving you, worshiping you, glorifying you, and being united as one, as the Lord promised in that same chapter, John 17, that they would be united with us, dedicated to you, Lord Jesus. We ask all of this in the Lord's name.
And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. We're going to be in Ephesians 5 again today, as we have been in recent weeks. This past week, I trust you are beginning to shine a light. As the scripture said, all things become visible when they're exposed by the light. And we challenged ourselves with that scripture last week to begin to reach out and to open up and say, God, how can you help me to shine a light on my life and to cover the lives of others, to open up and be willing to talk and communicate with somebody, or maybe to be the person I'm seeing take the mask off, someone said. Okay, I'm seeing all kinds of things about there. Sorry, I didn't have it on at the beginning. I apologize. Please forgive me. I'm trying to remember all the protocols in place here. Got it. All right, maybe you can hear a little better. All things become visible when they're exposed by the light, just as Ryan and Doris actually came up here. They actually set a perfect example in this just now as they came up here. They said, listen, here's what's on our heart. Here's what's going on in our life. Here's where we need help. And they were humble enough to say, would you stand with us and can we agree together? That's exactly what we talked about last week. Would we be willing to, in some sense, uncover our lives to another, to allow the light of God to shine in there? And it's exactly what they're doing. And everything becomes clear then. Man, the parenthood. Listen, parents are under attack today. I don't know if you know this. The family is under assault today, not just in our society, but the enemy of all that is right and good, the enemy of the kingdom of God, would love nothing more than to see division in families. See parents against their children and children against parents, brothers against brothers. And God has called us to live in unity together and to walk in love. And it's the enemy who separates. Now, Christ is a plumb line, and he's a dividing line for the sin that separates us from God. And so in some sense, the presence of Christ becomes that standard, that essentially a line of demarcation that some families are divided by. But by the grace of God, we have a mother and father who are saying, listen, Christ is in us and through us, and we have this relationship under the lordship of Jesus Christ, and we want to rear our children in this way. It's the only chance for mothers and fathers and families to succeed. But I trust that we've all been doing that this week, not just them standing up here in the light of day and in front of everyone, but in our relationships, communicating and being willing to say, hey, here's what's going on in my life. Here's where I'm at. Here's where I want the light of Christ to shine. And when the light shines, all things become visible. It's not so confusing. We're not alone in it. We're not confused with the struggles that are there when they're left in the dark. We said that when we're in the dark, some things that shouldn't be scary seem really scary when you're in the dark. But when you shine a light, all of a sudden things make sense and it's not quite so scary anymore. So in the few minutes we have left, we're going to look at Ephesians 5 one more time. We're going to start in verse 15 this morning. Be careful how you walk, not as the unwise men, but as wise. We read this last week. Walk as the wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Father in heaven, would you help us? Would you help us this morning? Would you help us to see you in this admonition, to know you more, and to respond to your word this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit? Father, help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Making the most, that's the primary directive here in this passage, making the most. And at a glance, it could even be perceived in today's fast-paced modern culture like some sort of like time management exercise. Let's make the most of your time. Let's make the most of every opportunity. Redeem the time, one translation said. And there's something to that. It's definitely about time management, but not at all in the sense of today's self-help books or life coaches who would try to help us with our time management. So what's it about? I can tell you this. It's about doing. It's about what we do and the things that we do with the hours, minutes, days, weeks of our lives. But it's an admonition to make the most of your time that's concerned with spiritual things, that's concerned with eternity. What would you do to make the most out of your time with a view to eternity, with eternity in mind? The Greek word there, exagorazo, it means to redeem, to buy up, to pay the price for, to ransom, to make wise and sacred use of every opportunity. Make wise use of every opportunity. So in short, it means that you are to make the most of your natural life in consideration of your spiritual life. How do we do that? So understandably, if we want to make the most of our time with a view towards God and eternity rather than just worldly accomplishments and whatever happens in the natural world, our lives and our time and the way we spend our time is going to look different than somebody who doesn't have that view to eternity. We'll have vastly different to-dos if we're trying to make the most of our time with eternity in mind instead of just this life. And two persons having differently opposing priorities will do different things in life with their time and opportunities. Are you with me this morning? Everybody has the same number of hours and days and minutes for their entire lives, but not everybody has the same number of days and minutes and hours in their life. Same hours in a day, but we don't know how many days we're going to have. So it makes a lot of sense that we don't take it for granted, since we don't know how many days it's going to be for each of us. It makes a lot of sense not to take it for granted. And if there's anything we've learned in the past 5 months, I hope that's it, that you can't take the time that we have and the opportunities that we have for granted. So we better make the most of those opportunities. So if we're on the same page as far as what this passage is telling us to do, here's what we got to do. Make the most, redeem the time, take advantage of every opportunity that you have with a view to eternity, not for ourselves or any other purpose. Many times in Scripture we're advised what to do, but we're not always told how to do it. The beauty of Christ, and a lot of times he would ask people questions, right? He would pose something to them. He'd tell his disciples what to do. He'd hit them up with questions, and they'd be left scratching their head. Well, how do we do this? He told us something to do. I don't know what I should do next. How do I go about it? And so sometimes God, in his wisdom and sovereignty, he'll say, here's what I want you to do, and then allow you, with your creativity, with the grace he's put in your life, with the circumstances that you have. How many of you know it's going to look different in Southeast Asia than it's going to look in Long Island, New York? And so sometimes the how needs to be as creative and as unique as each of those circumstances, cultures, situations. But in this particular case, In this instance, not only does he tell us what to do, he actually gives us some how-tos. He tells us how we can go about doing it. In fact, he gives us three sets of biblical responses to this biblical command, making the most of every opportunity. And here they are in the order they're given. First, he says we should be understanding what the will of the Lord is, understanding and being filled with the Spirit. Understanding and being filled. Secondly, he says we should be speaking to and singing to. We should be speaking and singing, speaking to others and singing to the Lord. And then the third set he gives, he says we ought to be giving thanks to God and being subject to one another. Giving thanks to God and being subject to one another. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to make the most of your time redeeming the opportunities, because these days are evil. Did you know these are evil days that we live in? You don't have to look any further than the scandals that are going on in Hollywood and all the cover-ups and things that are happening. You don't have to look any further than the political landscape. You don't have to look any further than Netflix with 11-year-old girls on all fours in scantily clad clothes advertising the next movie to say the days are evil. The days are evil. And listen, I don't think we as believers are supposed to try and hold the world to the Christian standard. It's hard enough to meet the Christian standard as believers with Christ in us, right? Paul says, I don't do some of the things that I know I'm supposed to do, and all the things that I don't do. It's hard enough with Christ. There's no chance the world is going to meet that standard. So we shouldn't expect the world to meet. We should expect that things are going to be evil. And we should expect that it's not going to get any better. In fact, it's definitely going to get worse. So since the days are evil, I want you to redeem the time. Here's what you're commanded to do, and it's so important because the days are so evil. He tells us not only what to do, he says how. And he says, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Here's a hint. It's not getting drunk. Here's a pro tip. Don't think that's it. Nope, that's not it. That's what fills our society. Excess. Excess of self. Excess of pleasure. Excess of material possessions. Don't be filled to excess that leads to debauchery, he says. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Make the most of every opportunity. If you're going to have any chance, you're going to have to do this. Understand what God's will is. It's not excess of other things. It's being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. It's your only chance to make the most of every opportunity. So how are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Jesus said, and we read this verse before, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him? The Holy Spirit is yours for the asking. That's what Jesus said. There's not some magic formula. There's not some crazy ritual you have to go through. He says, if you being evil, if you being earthly fathers, being fallen men who sometimes don't know your head from a hole in the ground, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give his Holy Spirit to those who ask? The Holy Spirit is yours for the asking. Has anyone here ever asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God? And how many of you who asked were filled with the Holy Spirit of God? And how many of you who were filled with the Holy Spirit of God had to ask again to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God? The Scripture says, keep asking. Everyone who keeps asking, they'll receive. Everyone who keeps knocking, keeps seeking. If we ask in faith, not wavering, but believing, the Bible says the Holy Spirit is ours for the asking. That's the nature of humanity and God's divinity, though. We can't contain him. The whole world can't contain him. And so we're jars of clay. We're crackpots, if you will. And so you fill us up and it leaks out and it seeps out, not because God falls short, but because we're fallen. And so we have to ask again, Lord, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? Now, I believe it's clear in Scripture that when we come to Christ and we're redeemed, we're saved from our sins, that the Holy Spirit indwells in us by faith. You can look at Romans 5. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives, and that's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But we need the infilling of the Holy Spirit on a continual basis if we're going to walk by the Spirit. If we're going to make the most of every opportunity, if we're going to have a view to eternity, we've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And over time, I've got to keep asking and say, Lord, would you fill me again? It's my only chance to make the most of the opportunities in front of me. It's my only chance to rear my daughter in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's only one chance, man, and if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said when we're filled with the Spirit, He'll convict us of sin and righteousness. He'll lead us into all truth. That's our only hope in days that are evil, is if the Holy Spirit leads us into the truth, man. It gets tricky. It gets tricky when it creeps into the church and you're wondering if this pastor, is he right about this thing that he said? I had somebody ask me this week, hey, what do you know about this pastor? He's saying this thing. He's saying, you know, he wrote all these books. He did all these. I said, you know, I don't know. I can't speak for him. I don't know him. I don't know him. I know we can test the spirits. And I know I need the Holy Spirit inside of me, and I need God's discernment to know, and the Holy Spirit's going to lead us into all truth, and we need discernment, and we need the Holy Spirit leading us more than ever, not just with what's in the world, but what's within the church. So Lord, have mercy and lead us with your Holy Spirit. So the first step, the first how-to, if you will, in making the most of every opportunity is to understand what the will of the Lord is and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the second how-to, and I'm just going to leave you with this today, in the next couple of minutes, the second how-to, it's a sort of a marching order for us this week. The second set of how-tos begins with this, speaking to one another in psalms. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. The ISV says, recite to one another psalms. Can't get any more plain than that. There are 59 one another's in the New Testament telling us how to interact with our fellow believers, and we're very familiar with them, right? Love one another, be kind to one another, pray for one another, and we're so comfortable with all those one another's. Oh yeah, I ought to love my neighbor, ought to be kind to them, absolutely. Pray for them as we did this morning. Well, here's a one another that I don't know how many of us really do or how many of us really take to heart. He says, if you want to make the most of the opportunity, you got to understand what God's will is and be filled with His Holy Spirit. And here's how you're going to do it. You're going to be speaking to one another in psalms. We do all the other one another's, or at least they make sense to us. This one, it's kind of like, wait, what do you mean? Are you serious? This is what he says. And you might ask, well, does he mean like the psalms that are in the Bible? Hey, why not start right there? Were you going to start with something else, somewhere else? Why don't we start with what he said and do that and say, Lord, lead us in this as you're filling us with your Holy Spirit. Paul says, if you want to make the most of every opportunity, don't just talk to each other about the weather. You should be speaking to one another in psalms. That's what Jesus did. That's what the disciples did. Jesus, of all the Old Testament scriptures he quoted the Psalms the most. What was Jesus doing? He was speaking to the others in Psalms. He was making the most of, how many of you believe Jesus made the most of every opportunity? He absolutely did. And the thing that he talked about the most with reference to the scripture that they had was the Psalms. And it could seem to our liberated minds that this is some sort of hyper-spiritual exercise or some crazy, oh, that's just too like churchy or religious to talk to one another in psalms. Can I tell you? There is nothing more practical that you could do to help the hurting person next to you who's trying to find their way through life, trying to claw their way through coronavirus, trying to figure out how to do this without complaining and without getting discouraged. There's no more practical thing that you can do than to speak to them with a psalm. To encourage one another, to inspire one another, to provoke one another to trust in the Lord. Try it. Try it out this week. Arm yourself with a line or two from a psalm. Speak to a brother or a sister with that very psalm. Now, you don't want to get one of those imprecatory psalms that Kevin Hennigan hates so much that he tells me about. I shouldn't say that. He doesn't hate the Psalms, so don't say that I said that. What I'm saying is they're challenging to him. They're challenging to me. They're challenging to me. So don't go and start praying God's judgment on somebody to try to encourage them, okay? Pick one. Hey, we just said the first step is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And we're trusting him to lead us into the truth and to give us discernment so that the person who we encounter, the brother or sister who's hurting or discouraged, we pray that God would lead us to speak the psalm, to be speaking his word to somebody who needs to hear that encouragement. We pray that he would lead us to the right verse. It doesn't have to be a whole chapter. It doesn't even have to be a whole verse. It just has to be the truth. This is what we're commanded to do. Why don't we take a step to do it? If you see a brother or sister who's tempted to be afraid, speak to him with a psalm. Psalm 23:4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you're with me." Why don't you encourage them with the truth of that psalm, that God is with them? Or Psalm 3, "I won't be afraid of 10,000s of people who've surrounded me." Why don't you encourage them that they don't have to fear, that they can trust in the Lord? You see a brother or sister who's losing hope and wanting to give up? Speak to him with a psalm. No one whose hope is in the Lord will ever be put to shame. There's hope in the Lord. You can have hope today. You can encourage someone you can make the most of every opportunity by speaking to one another with psalms. When your spouse is overwhelmed with life and the world around them, speak to them in a psalm. "You, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head." God's going to lift your head. The same way Ryan was up here and he wanted to pray for his daughter and he was praying that psalm for her. Maybe you need to pray for your spouse in that way. Pray for your children in that way. Maybe you have a parent or someone you know who's concerned about getting older and feeling marginalized or useless. Psalm 92 says the righteous will still bear fruit in old age. Maybe somebody needs to hear that today and you need to be the one to encourage them. I don't know the people in your sphere of influence or in your circle of life who need to be encouraged or challenged with the psalm that you can speak to them, but you do. And I pray that you'd respond to it. Who would be willing to try this? Anybody? Don't raise your hand if you're not going to do it. I'm telling you. But please raise your hand if you're willing to try it. Are you willing to try that this week? Here's what the scripture says to do. Don't do it because some guy on a Sunday morning said, "Hey, why don't you try this?" The scripture says, listen, we're giving you an admonition here in days that are unspeakably evil and they're only going to get worse. You better make the most of every opportunity. We might not all be here next week when we reconvene. You better make the most of every opportunity. And it starts by saying, Lord, asking, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? I want to understand what your will is. I don't want to do my will and have excess of all these things. Lord, would you fill me with your Spirit? Now would you lead me to the right words to say to somebody else, the right psalm to be speaking to a brother or sister, because he says, here's how you do it right here. Speaking to one another with psalms. Surely out of the 2,400 verses in the Psalms, you can find one that would encourage somebody today. I challenge you to do it today. I challenge you to encourage somebody with a verse from the Psalms today and each day this week. I'll guarantee you, you'll encourage someone if you do. How might marriages change if we were speaking to one another in Psalms? How might our community, our church, body change instead of complaining about masks or whatever else, or complaining about the weather, or our bank accounts, or what happened? What if we spoke to one another in psalms? How might our church body be edified and changed? If you don't want to miss an opportunity, if you want to redeem the time, ask for and be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak to your brothers and sisters with psalms. And I pray this is an easily recalled sort of marching order that we can have this week. To say, Lord, I want to respond to you in this way. I encourage you to pull aside sometime today and say, Lord, it's as simple as this. You said if earthly fathers know how to give good gifts, how much more does a heavenly Father who's great and good and who's not earthly and who's not evil and not fallen, but who's perfect in all of his ways and whose judgments are perfect and who's fond of me, how much more does the Holy Spirit of God, does the Father God want to send his Holy Spirit to us. And so, Lord, I pray that we would make the time, make the most of our opportunity today. Even right now, take advantage of this opportunity and say, Lord, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? It's possible, Lord. I'm taking you at your word. Just ask. For those who ask, I'll send my Holy Spirit. We're believing by faith, Lord, for every person who responds, that you fill with your Holy Spirit. This is your will. And Lord, I pray you would lead us through the power of that Holy Spirit to the right word from your scripture that we should be speaking to one another. A word in season, an encouragement. Thank you, Lord, that you have a plan to bring us through the days that are evil. You have a plan, Lord, to finish what you started in us, to see your Son glorified and to see your people edified. We pray for your discernment. We pray for your leading. We pray for the infilling of your Holy Spirit who already dwells in us. We pray you'd fill us up again. Lord, and I pray this word from Ephesians wouldn't fall by the wayside or be choked out or be scorched or anything, Lord, but that this word would find good soil and each person, Lord, would take this to heart just like they would any other commandment in Scripture to be filled and to be speaking to one another with the truth of your word. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Just stand to your feet as we're dismissed. And again, I encourage you, take some time aside today. Take some time aside today to ask for His Holy Spirit again. Take some time aside today to speak, be speaking the Psalms to somebody who you can encourage today. Maybe I'll be speaking a few psalms to you right now. Psalm 67 says, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Lord, establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. In Psalm 115, may the Lord cause you to flourish, both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you on your journey. Be sure to make the most of every opportunity, redeem the time, and test it out. Be speaking to one another in Psalms. Amen.